Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome to your week. Asia Pacific stocks are trading mixed this morning in what analysts say is likely to be a cautious day of trade. Global stocks are coming off a week of big losses. Plus, the U.S. markets are closed this evening for a public holiday, Juneteenth. Seoul is down 1%. Sydney is flat. And Tokyo is trading marginally higher. Joining me now as we break down all the market action. Happy belated Father's Day, right?
Thanks, Michelle. I would tell you that joke, but I am going to keep it for myself for now.
All right. The Straits Times Index. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time. I hope all the dads out there had a good time as well.
All right. Wonderful. Good to hear. Straits Times Index finished down about 2.5% last week. And while that's not great, it is significantly better than most other Asian markets. Tokyo, Seoul and Sydney, they all gave up about 6% of their value or more over the past 5 trading sessions. Now, here at home, some companies are seeing the downturn as an opportunity to buy back more of their shares. Two companies on the share buyback list this morning that have caught my eye are AEM Holdings and Grand Venture Technology. Now, both businesses have links to the semiconductor industry. AEM does back-end testing. Grand Venture does precision machinery. Tell us more about their recent purchases. Would you say that these are signs of confidence in the semiconductor sector?
It does look that way. So if you look at what's happening with, let's start with AEM Holdings, you've got the EPF, or what's known as the Employees Provident Fund Board. They have raised their stake back above 5% again. So this is after back in February where they sold some shares and brought it down to 4.87, and now they bought it again, and this has raised their stake now to 5.05%. So this comes to the tune of $4.39 per share, and it is at a lower average price of $4.53, which they received when they sold it earlier. So they are buying it back at a cheaper price. So seeing value in AEM Holdings, and this is off the back of AEM talking about creating more than 300 extra jobs as it expands in Singapore, Malaysia, and in the US. So its business is growing and is looking at expansion, also boosting its R&D capabilities. So all that just showing AEM is on strong footing when it comes to growth. And if you look at Grand Venture, we've got its executive chairman, Ricky Lee, acquiring 50,000 shares at an average price of 76.8 cents per share. So that is to the tune of over $38,000, and it brings his stake slightly higher from 15.33 to 15.34%. Also, you've got GVT Executive Director and CEO Julian Ng. He has bought 10,000 shares at an average price of 76.5 cents. So this brings his stake to 3.55 from 3.54%. So that is showing how insiders are just seeing value in their own companies and looking at what the forecasts or expectations are for Grand Venture. They are building on robust demand from the industry, and they are talking about more discussions with potential customers in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. And that is also putting them on good footing for future prospects.
That's a great overview there. AEM shares down 20% since January. But if you bought into the company a year ago, you would still be up 13%. AEM also made news this past week as it plans to add 300 more jobs here in Singapore. We talked about that on the show on Friday. It is another indication of the company's optimism. Now, the agri business Wilmar International led the share buyback list last week, purchasing more than $46 million worth of shares. It did so at an average purchase price of $4.08 a share, about 7 cents higher than where it's trading now. And while Wilmar's price has dropped a bit since the buybacks, this one still catches my eye as food prices are rising. But Ryan, could this be a good time to take closer looks at investing in agribusiness?
Yeah, there is definitely a strong argument to look at these stocks more closely, as food prices rise, as these prices of these products rise, you might expect these margins of these companies producing these products to also see them benefit. And we are talking about the likes of Wilmer, also Olam, Golden Agri, Jepfa. You might imagine all these companies just benefiting from those higher margins. And if you look at Wilmer, they are the fifth largest company on the SGX and also across the entire value chain when it comes to the agricultural commodity business. So from cultivation, processing, distribution, they've got it almost vertically integrated and stacked. So looking at beneficiaries, Wilmer will be right at the top of the list when it comes to how you might expect them to perform as we see prices continue to escalate, as inflation starts to creep in even more. And all the supply chain issues are still there, just forcing prices higher. So they are one of the potential beneficiaries.
Okay, let's zoom back out again. I want to take a look at global markets. Last week was such an ugly week, wasn't it, for global markets. The S&P 500 had its biggest weekly loss since March 2020. Concerns about inflation and central banks' efforts to tame it, along with the risk that major economies could plunge into a recession, fueled much of the selling. Now, one central bank, though, is not playing along with the rest of the global game plan, and that is the Bank of Japan. On Friday, we were wondering if BOJ would raise rates along with the Fed and European central banks. Inflation is not really an issue in Japan, but the yen has been depreciating sharply. So what exactly did the BOJ do, Ryan, and why?
Okay, so as we widely expected, we saw the BOJ do nothing. So nothing happened to its rates. And that was the case because of what you pointed out, the yen weakening, and we've got inflation not as strong as what it wants it to be versus elsewhere. So we are looking at, in recent times, about 2.1%, and it wants it to be higher and stickier. And this is where we have a bit of divergence when it comes to policy settings. And that's why we are seeing the yen weaker. And the BOJ says it will continue its program of bond buying, and that is setting up for the yen to be even weaker. So something to look out for as we see if we get the inflation numbers out this Friday from Japan, if that is enough of a shift in thinking. But by and large, we are expecting them to continue on this trajectory for the foreseeable future. So it's a tough one because as the yen weakens, it's good to some extent for exporters because it becomes more competitive for them, but at the same time, not so much for everyone else who is looking at perhaps starting up a business in Japan and depending on foreign earnings as well. So that is a bit of a trade-off when it comes to a weaker yen.
If we take a look at the S&P 500, it has 11 sectors. There's real estate, IT, financials, utilities, and more. Only one out of the 11 sectors is in positive territory for the year. All 10 others are currently in the red. So which sector do you think is outperforming now? Could it be consumer staples, energy? What do you think?
I am going to put my bets on energy because we've seen prices go up so much in recent times, especially with what's been happening with the Ukraine war, just crimping supply, and prices of oil have also been going up. So I am thinking it's energy. Am I right?
You are completely correct. More about that in a bit. Markets are bearish, no doubt about that. But where there's gloom, someone's always going to see an opportunity. Now, in this case, the Bank of America is putting forward a bullish case. It thinks that the S&P 500 could hit 6,000.
Wow.
To put that in context, the index is trading below 4,000 now. So what is the BOA's argument?
Yeah, I always take these things with a pinch of salt, right? We are looking at history, historical trends. They don't always play out the same way as they did previously. But looking at what the BOA is saying, if you take a leaf out of the page of history, we could be in for just a few more months before we see things take off for the S&P 500 all the way to 6,000. So going by some of the indications based on historical trends, they are saying it just takes a few months before things play out for a bear market. And they are saying that will come sometime at the end of October. So put that in your calendar.
Will do. We turn next to the world of cryptocurrencies, where Bitcoin went on a wild ride over the weekend. It fell below $17,600 a token over the weekend, but then climbed sharply again on Sunday to reclaim the 20,000 level. Ether, meanwhile, fell as far as $881 before bouncing back. What's going on?
What's going on in the world of crypto? I think everyone asks that question almost every day. And I was writing the news this morning, right? And at first, I was talking about how Bitcoin prices were down, and then things had to be rejigged because they started to bounce back up. It just shows, you know, it depends on what time you ask a question. And crypto prices had a huge volatile weekend. So we saw it down to their year's low of under $18,000. And then on Sunday, it bounced back up again by almost 7.6%. Now it's above $20,000. So it's just showing how at first, investors were a bit jittery about the sell-off in equities and also that wider sentiment being weighed down by what's been happening with the sell-off and interest rates expected to go up higher. So that has been seeing investors cash out of markets to some extent. And then I think you've got bargain hunters coming back in, looking at supporting the crypto market. So for now, it is looking up, but who knows where it will go in the coming day.
In the coming minutes, you mean? Minute-by-minute deadlines reminds me of radio journalism. Time now for corporate news and a game of up or down. Ryan, are you ready?
Let's go.
Let's look at airlines.
Airlines, I am going with down. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they are in a bit of a happy problem situation. No, people are wanting to travel again. But the thing is, it's a huge crunch when it comes to the supply of people, the supply of planes. So they were not prepared for the huge numbers, and now they are just under a bit of a crunch when it comes to meeting demand.
Particularly in the US, my friends tell me. So it's a down in my book for airlines, because airlines across the globe are indeed having trouble coping with increased demand for travel. It seems they may not have been able to scale back up quickly enough, and many carriers have been cancelling flights just this past weekend. Let's look at APAC Realty.
All right, APAC Realty, which runs the ERA real estate brand, we are probably looking at an up. So earnings higher by 20%. And that's despite a drop in transactions.
Well done for APAC Realty. Earnings up 20%, even though transactions are down. That's an up in my book. Number of property agents in Singapore, are they still in the sector?
I would say up. It's something I've been noticing. A lot of my friends have been taking these exams and qualifying themselves as real estate agents. So we are seeing that overall population increase. But I think the question is, how many of them are active?
Yeah.
How many of them are actually selling on a regular basis? So we do have agents out there, but how many are active is still a question mark. I think it's also reflective of how everyone's been trying to get a piece of the property pie in some sense.
Yeah, on that point of active, I'm going to go with down for a number of property agents, because it's actually a report in the Business Times was over the weekend that as many as half of Singapore's property agents are not actively working, which means there could be a shortage of agents out there on the ground able to serve customers. So, down for me. SpaceX, up or down?
Wow, this is a company in the news because of the wrong reasons. Yeah. So, at first, we had an open letter coming through from SpaceX. I think we were talking about it last week, criticizing Elon Musk for the way he was doing things, becoming a distraction for the company.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not a surprise. Those people who penned the letter are now fired.
Down in my book. Yeah. Last week, we talked about this letter. SpaceX employees penned a letter that was critical of their boss, Elon Musk. And now there have been reports that they've been fired. JD.com.
Yeah. It's also a down as well for JD.com. We had the 618 Shopping Festival over the weekend, 18th of June. So this is something similar to Singles Day, started by JD.com to mark its founding. So typically, we would see people buy gadgets and whatnot. But this time around, JD.com reporting its slowest growth ever for its 618 shopping event. And interesting trends that they have been noticing, people moving away from the likes of gifts, entertainment, clothing, towards things like basic necessities like oil, rice, refrigerators. So it's an interesting consumer pattern shift.
If you take a step back, yes, JD.com sales rose at their slowest rate yet in spite of 618, the shopping season, but they were still up 10%. And that is nothing like last year's whopping 27% growth for JD.com. But in light of recent news, I'm going to go with a down for them. Disney's Lightyear.
All right, Disney's Lightyear. All right, here is the buzz around Disney's Lightyear movie, not enough to bring it to the top. So it's got a bit of a disappointing opening weekend in North America, and people are expecting it to, you know, leapfrog over Jurassic Park. And this is seeing the film bringing just $51 million behind Jurassic Park, which they were hoping to see $76 to $105 million. So far from expectations.
Yeah, it's all a matter of perspective. Disney's Lightyear grossed $51 million US dollars in its first weekend. That is the best performance by an animated feature since the pandemic began, but it could not knock Jurassic off its perch as a top-selling movie at the box office. Still haven't seen it myself, I have to say. Cathay.
Oh, this is going to be a down for me. So they are in the news because if you've been to the Cathay, you've got the cinemas right at the top floor. Soon enough, you will not be able to go to those cinemas because those cinemas are closing down. In its place, you've got independent screen company or screen independent cinema, the projector, setting up shop there in place as a pop-up. So it's quite a, I guess, place in history where you've got those cinemas. I remember back in the day, you've got the ceiling fans up there and you could watch the movies, and it was one of those growing experiences I will always remember.
I had my first date at Cathay, so kind of sad that it's closing down.
But you can still go there, but the cinemas would just not be running.
Not the same. Let's turn to Singapore now. 21 minutes into the local trading day. Ryan, how's the STI trading this morning? Is it starting off the week on a positive note?
Okay, so we are coming off the back of a very jittery week. The Straits Times Index was down over 2% last week. And looking at where we are right now, pretty much continuing the same trend. Under pressure, down 0.2% at 3,092 points. Mm-hmm. Looking at STI, you've got more red than green right now. Only 8 counters in the green. And interestingly, Jardine Matheson Holdings is up 1.5% at $50.81. It was the top loser last week, down 12% for the entire week. So looking at some bargain hunting happening here for Jardine Matheson. At the bottom, you've got Hong Kong Land down 3.4% at $4.83. So that's the picture so far for Monday.
Thanks very much. I got a dad joke for you. All right, are you ready?
Okay.
He's holding his breath. What does a baby computer call its father?
Ooh, what does it call its father?
Dada. I got to say it with an American accent.
Not bad.
Corny. All right, thanks so much for joining me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.